Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you to this morning's Dallas City Council agenda meeting. We'll begin with the invocation. It's a pleasure to introduce one of our colleagues, and that's Sheffy Cadet, to do the invocation. Please rise.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for bringing us here together. Guide each and every one of us. That we'll do your will, Lord, and that we'll bless you in all that we do. Father, thank you for the bringing these miners from Chile out safely. And Lord, I've got to thank you for bringing our rangers through. So be with us today, guide us and lead us, and let us glorify you in all that we do, and let us be a blessing to you and this city. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Ms. Hossel, could you lead the pledge? Go Rangers! Go Rangers! Madam Secretary, assuming that we don't have any Rangers with us, do we have any speakers?
We sure do. We have several speakers this morning, and Mr. Mayor, we do have a quorum now of the City Council. Our first speaker this morning is going to be Tamara Washington, followed by Joseph Farisee and Richard Henderson. And while Ms. Washington is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending City Council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You have 3 minutes to speak, and when you see an amber light, that means you have 30 seconds to speak. Direct all your remarks to the presiding officer and state your name and your address for our record. Tamara Washington, Mr. Joseph Farisee, Richard Henderson, DJ Mayfield, Galileo Tumasos. And I apologize if I mispronounced that last name.
I always give $20 to anybody who can pronounce my last name.
Okay.
Very few. It's a great day. Thank you very much. My name is Galileo Humawa, president of the Greater Dallas Asian American Chamber of Commerce, 11171 Harry Hines Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, 75229. I'm here today to say my litany of thanks. First of all, to the mayor, Mayor Tom, for your leadership, and of course, the collective leadership of the Dallas City Council, and for maintaining, especially instead of trimming the personnel and staff of the Business Development Purchasing Department, they maintain and provide us the team who have helped our minority community, the procurement and contracting community here in Dallas. And we're happy to have them back. So under the leadership, of course, of our director, Ade Williams, and we would like also to continue thanking and providing our good stewardship to economic development here in the city for maintaining the 8 business assistance centers in our city. And we thank you for that. But today I am here to speak on historical moment of our chamber. For the first time in our history, a minority Asian woman-owned vendor has been recommended to do the services of the Dallas Police uniforms under the name of Renee Ducia of Regali Inc., who is teamed up with a very strong corporate partner and member of our chamber, BFI, the BF Imagewear. So we would like really to continue to be good stewards of the Dallas City resources, And at the same time, since our chamber is not restricted by geographic boundaries, we will be the ambassador of the chamber in the region, in the state, the national, and the international front. And thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Thanks for being with us.
Mr. Mayor, that's all of the speakers this
morning.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to the agenda. The first item, of course, is the minutes. Those have been distributed in advance. If I could have a motion. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. On our consent agenda this morning, there are several items that request to be pulled for individual consideration. Let me walk through those with you. First of all, item number 3, Mr. Caraway has requested that that be considered individually. Item number 7, Mr. Atkins. Item number 9, Mr. Atkins. Item number 30, Mr. Atkins. Item number 39, Mr. Newman. Item number 43, Mr. Newman. Item number 50, Mr. Caraway. And then over on the addendum, addendum item number 13, Mr. Newman. So the ones we'll consider individually then will be 3, 7, 9, 30, 39, 43, 50, and over on the addendum, item number 13. With the exception of those items, if I could have a motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if you would read number 3 into the order, into the record, please.
Yes, sir. Item 3 is authorized a 3-year master agreement for fiberglass manhole structures and accessories that allow access into water and wastewater systems.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. If I could get someone to address, I guess, Mr. Williams, today, you can tell me a little bit about these manhole covers. I'd just like to know why or what are we doing with the manhole covers and fiberglass. Okay. Hello, Joe. Morning.
You asked about
the manhole covers.
This item is for the manholes themselves.
Right.
The manhole covers that we use are heavy cast iron.
Right.
And so we don't have any real trouble losing those.
Okay.
There was some challenge some years ago before. I think the scrap metal ordinance has helped us. People don't tend to try to steal those, and they're pretty heavy. So,
okay. So these are the manhole covers that in around the city.
Yes, this is the
below the manhole cover.
This is the thing they go down into.
Okay. Because we've had a lot of them missing. And I understand why they were missing, and we're replacing them with fiberglass.
No, these are fiberglass cylinders.
Okay.
That go down into the ground where the pipes come in the bottom. The tops, the manhole covers, we're not dealing with the replacement of those today. We do replace them occasionally, but those are cast iron. Those are heavy cast iron. This is just the column.
This is the column
underground.
And in the future, because I saw over in my area on Monday Street, the manhole cover, the actual cover, not the tube, but the cover, had been missing. And the replacement, when I was over there the other day, was fiberglass or some type of plastic. And I would like to see more of that because they have a tendency of staying there longer, those fiberglass. So just expand it out to those manhole covers.
We'll do that. We'll look at the specifications for those. They have to bear traffic and things like that.
That's all. That's my issue. Thank you. Mayor, move approval.
Moved and all those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order. Madam Secretary, if we would move to item number 7, please, and I believe we have 2 speakers on that.
Yes, sir. Item 7 is authorized a 3-year master agreement for police and public safety uniforms. You do have 2 speakers on that item, Mr. Mayor, and that is Kim Hitter, H-I-T-E-R, Kim. Second speaker is Blake Stewart. Mr. Stewart. Mr. Mayor, neither speaker are here on the items.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Day,
I guess the reason why I put this particular item, you know, for so many years that we are trying to build capacity, you know, to have a minority contractor kind of joint venture with a majority contractor to do a project. Dave, can you just explain, you are Mr. Chipperfield, tell us what is something different about this contract versus other contract in the past, and what is procurement is doing different to make sure that we have minority capacity building and construction in the contractor portion of it?
Well, what the results of this, as you see, is months of collaboration with the departments and the staff at BDPS. In a nutshell, what you have here is a true example of capacity building that the council has been encouraging us to promote. You have in the past, you have a large company that expressed interest that had the contract, but servicing the contract through a distributor, a non-minority distributor. But when we put the bid out, a small MWB went out and formed a relationship with a large company. And so as a result of that relationship, they put together a competitive proposal. And so they're here today as a successful proposal.
Is the contractor here today?
Yes.
What's the name of the contractor?
It's Regali.
Regali?
Yeah.
Would someone from Regali come forward, please? And colleagues, you know, this is almost a $6 million contract, and they do have a contract with the city of Dallas, which is probably a $2 million contract. And what they did, instead of going to the manufacturer, they formed a relationship. Now they are the majority contractor, and they joined forces with a minority contractor to order to bid on this big contract with a $6 million project. You want to say a few words?
I would like to thank the mayor, members of city council.
Renee, why don't you introduce yourself?
City manager.
Renee, you want to introduce yourself? Who you are?
I'm Renee Dudia, owner principal of Regali Inc. I would first like to thank Mayor Leffert, council members, and city manager Marisham, ladies and gentlemen. As most of you know, that my firm has successfully served the city for the last 2.5 years, providing civilian uniforms. When the opportunity was shared with me over 2 years ago that there may be more opportunities for us to bid on projects by building larger capacity, we wasted no time but formed a relationship with the world's biggest apparel uniform company, VF Imagewear, based out of Tennessee. We have here Kevin Stewart from VF Imagewear. We decided in the relationship, in order to build capacity, we would be the prime contractor and they would be our teaming partners. So with that, I would like to again thank the city for the opportunity. We will be providing on this contract not only the product, but also our proprietary technology order processing system at no additional cost to the city, which is green technology meeting with the goals and objectives of the city. Thank you. Kevin.
With that, Mayor, I so move.
Second.
Move and second. Mr. Tiske, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a brief comment. You know, along with this, has been already said by our colleagues and the speakers, you know, this is a very large contract for the City of Dallas, and it proves that the minority community can roll up their sleeves and put a good effort forward and win in a competitive and fair way business with the City of Dallas. I've had the pleasure of knowing Renee for a long, long time. I don't want to say how long, because it'll date both of us, but, you know, she is somebody who's, you know, sort of started with two nickels and a lot of hard work and has worked herself up to a very, very successful international business. But one of the things that she didn't mention is that part of this, receiving this contract, she had made up her mind that if she won the contract, she was moving her offices and her facilities to Dallas, Texas. And by Dallas, Texas, I mean Dallas, Texas, not one of those verbs around Dallas, Texas. And so this, you know, along with gaining a very good supplier and contractual relationship with the City of Dallas, we have a economic growth to our tax base and to the city's tax base, and add another fine business to the City of Dallas as a result of it. And it didn't cost us a thing. Thank you very much.
Renee, thank you very much. We appreciate you being with us. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 9, please.
Item 9 is authorized, number 1, the rejection of bids received for automotive body shop repairs, 2, the re-advertisement for new bids, and 3, supplemental agreement number 1 to the service contract with First Class Auto Incorporated in the amount of $700,656 Martin's Paint and Body Shop in the amount of $350,328 and 6, Construct Incorporated doing business as a budget auto body shop in the amount of $350,328 for automotive body parts and labor. I think we have one speaker, Mr. Mayor, signed up.
Please.
Sam Romano. I think that's Mr. Romano coming forward.
Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Speak directly into the mic, Mr. Romano, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Sam Romero. I'm with Budget Auto Body Shop, and I've been with the City of Dallas contractor for the past 3 years. Waking up this morning, I seen these Chilean miners coming out of the hole after 69 days. Waking up this morning, I seen these Chilean miners coming out of the hole after spending 69 days. Gave me hope. I hope today that I'm coming to address that I'm trying to keep my American dream from being shattered. I have won the city contract for the auto body repair back in July of 7 this year. And I have won the contract fair and square, how they say it. I have abided by all the rules and regulations that the city have requested. We have abided by all the bid specs, specifications, and instructions. A bid process that has been going on with the city for the past few years, everybody has to follow in order to win the bid. I was one of the luckiest winners for this contract. And not just winning the bid will determine your qualification. City of Dallas officials, they have to come and inspect your property and inspect your facility to determine if you are qualified to get the job done in a professional time manner. And indeed, building and inspection equipment services from the City of Dallas, they have showed them my shop and inspected my facility intensively. At the end of the day, they congratulated me and they formally recommended me for this purchasing department. Even purchasing department picked up the phone and congratulated me, and they told me that everything is going to be okay pending the city council meeting. Now, if the city decides to take the bid back again for rebidding, it's going to be putting me and other winners on an unlevel ground, since we're going to be bidding again the same bid. And the results of the bid that has been announced back in July is going to be taken away. We're going to be bidding on an item that is already being publicized. Everybody in town today knows how much we bid it for this contract. It's going to put us on a disadvantaged plate when we compete again if they decide to rebid. They can take anything, but we won the bid fair and square. We've abided by all the rules and regulations. Anything they wanted, we've got it. We've incurred a whole lot of expenses to meet the city minimum requirements, from insurance to hiring extra personnel to get the job done in a professional time manner. We were told by the purchasing department that this issue was raised because some vendors have raised issues about the bid specs and risk calculations. The same vendors who raised some issues about this bid were the same vendors who has been having this contract for the past few years. I'm wondering why today they're coming up and raising an issue about this contract. I'm just hoping to keep my American dream.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for being with us. Mr. Atkins, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Mayor, you know, we reviewed this procedure, the process. I'm going to have Forrest turn a day to come forward. Far, is it true that this contract had not been awarded yet? Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's not been awarded, so we have not received the bid.
So what happened was we are recommending
rejecting the bid that we did receive, extending the existing contract for a short period of time so that we can issue new specifications in order to improve our bids that that went out. And
so what you're saying is that when you put the bid on the market,
mm-hmm.
you realize you need to make some changes.
What we do is we issue the specs, we hold a pre-bid conference with any of the interested vendors that want to show up looking for feedback from the vending community, as we don't have expertise in every single type of good or service that we purchase. So we did hear some feedback from the vendors saying we think that you should split your bids between cars and trucks less than one ton, and then trucks over a ton, to increase your competition. We amended our specs, however, we didn't quite fix all of those issues. So there were some inconsistencies in the specifications. As we were evaluating the bids, we heard back from some of the vendors expressing concern about this. We took the time to relook at the specifications, look at what other jurisdictions do as far as managing their body shop contracts, and found that there was probably a little bit of better opportunity to improve our specs and redo them. So that's why we're rejecting the bids today.
So you would be improving the spec of the bid. Also, for like the cost, we did a cost analysis.
So the action, so to clear up, the action that the council is considering today is to extend the contract with the current vendor and then go back and clarify those questions that the vendors asked during that bid process. So that's what this action is for today.
And we need to clarify that because
Yes, we do.
The bid you have out there is not properly.
Well, it's not a matter of being proper. It's a matter of trying to make sure that all the vending community gets a fair competition for this award.
Okay. Yeah, no, so moved, man.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, item number 30, please, 3-0.
Item number 30. Item number 30 is authorize an increase in the contract with JC Commercial Incorporated for a replacement roof at the gymnasium commercial kitchen equipment required by code, a new fire alarm system, repairs to the existing sprinkler system, and partial replacement and refinishing of a gym floor at Cleburg Riley Recreation Center, located 1550 Edge Road.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes, Paul Dyer.
Mr. Warren, okay.
Mr. Weller, I see this is a change order.
Yes, sir.
Is there a reason why so late that we have a change order on this project? Could you tell me, I'm kind of speaking of the roof and the damage done to the gym floor.
Several of these items were things that have been discovered during the course of construction, even though it's fairly late in the job. And then some of them have to do with code interpretations regarding the kitchen in particular, which we did not receive that until fairly late as well.
Is there a reason why, you know, pertaining to the kitchen,
yes,
when
sir.
We put the scope of work out, did the building inspector knew exactly what the scope was going to be to make sure that it was being properly?
Well, this Cleburg is the first of several of many recreation centers in the bond program that has gone into construction, and up until this, I'll say, batch of recreation centers, we had never been asked to convert kitchens from a regular kitchen to what's called a commercial kitchen. So when the plans were stamped in building inspection, they were stamped subject to the inspector in the field, and as they've been coming out to our projects, that's when we've learned we had to convert, even though we may just be doing something as simple as changing the interior finishes,
right.
that is requiring full compliance with the commercial kitchen.
I guess I have one other concern.
Yes, sir.
And that concern, the roof. You know, the roof did leak and did cause damage to the gym floor.
Yes, sir.
I mean, did we knew the roof needed to be repaired during that time we issued the contract at the beginning?
No, sir, we did, and that was not part of the original scope of the project. Unfortunately, the gym, there was not to be any work done inside the gymnasium, so the doors were sort of locked during construction to keep construction folks out of the gym. And then during our big rain in May, the gym had a leak, leaked onto the gym floor, the wood floor, causing it to buckle in several places. So this change order does include replacing that area that was damaged, and then we'll refinish the entire gym floor, repaint it, and reseal it. And we're taking this opportunity in this change order to replace the roof on the gymnasium.
Okay. Did we at any time during the rain in May, did anyone of the staff realize the roof was leaking? We just found out after.
No, sir, we were not. The roof had not previously leaked before the big rain in May. There had no reports from the management staff at the center, so it was that big rain that caused the problem and brought it to our attention that there were issues with the roof.
With that, I so move.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item 39, please.
Item 39, Mr. Mayor, is authorized a contract with the Admiral Construction Company, lowest responsible bidder of 7, for the construction of 12 safe routes to school improvement projects.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't know who this should go to. This is the Public Works. Is this Jill? Why don't you ask a question for Jilly? Jilly.
Jilly.
Jilly. It's, yeah. Okay, Jill. Morning, Jilly.
Good morning.
She's used to it. I always call her Jilly, so she wrecks it. Jill, educate me very briefly about these safe routes. This type of item has come before the council several times before, and it doesn't look as though that all the districts, council districts, have schools that participate.
Correct.
And so I, for my respective district as well as others, I'd want to have the opportunity for schools within to participate. How do we participate when we haven't yet been participating?
Well, I guess the unfortunate thing is that this was a grant opportunity coming through TxDOT back in 2007.
2007, okay.
Right. And when we worked with the DISD, they asked us to go through their central office.
Back in 07.
Right, and to coordinate, and they were going to spread the word amongst the grade schools and the middle schools, not high school, because they don't qualify, to find who wanted these kinds of projects. So they spread the word amongst their schools. The schools responded back. There were no schools, unfortunately, in your district.
Unfortunately. There are schools, but
there
none
are schools,
forward.
But none of them asked to be put into the candidate pool for this grant money. And so more schools in other districts put in, and then they went through the selection process because there was criteria that you had to meet, and we ended up then with this set of 12.
Does this program regenerate itself? Will there be an opportunity
Unfortunately, no. It has not come back up yet. It's only come up for general education, for bike and pedestrian safety, not for infrastructure. So this is a one-time grant opportunity for infrastructure improvements around schools.
Okay, well, all right, so we'll just assume that staff will be on the lookout if something like this comes up again. I'd want the DISD schools in my district to participate the next time if and when that comes. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Move approval. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 43, please.
Mr. Mayor, item 43 is a resolution authorizing the sale of approximately 177,990 square feet of unwanted and unneeded city-owned land improved with the old animal shelter located near the intersection of Pawnee Road and Olson Drive to Sean Substickler.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Is this Teresa? I bet it is. Okay. The real estate lady. Good morning, T.O. How are you? Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone gets a nickname. Absolutely. Teresa, this is a good thing that we're selling a facility, an old facility, $276,000. That's right. Absolutely. So that's a positive thing. My question is a broader question, and that is, and maybe this is for Mary as well as Teresa, but what portion, what dollars are in the 2010-11 budget that we just adopted for the selling of surplus property?
$1 million in selling of surplus property and $2.7 million for abandonment
Okay, wait a minute here. $1 million in the 10-11 budget, $1 million for surplus property, and what was the other portion?
2.7 for abandonment.
Abandonment. Oh, when someone asks to right. get an alley or a curb.
Right.
Okay, $1 million for a surplus and 2.7. Well, this is 276,000 of the million, so we're already 27% there.
That is one reason to celebrate, yes. But I will tell you, this is a really hard projection every year.
I understand.
Because you also see on the agenda that we just got some bids that were not worth considering. So.
Yeah, there's one in my district we're rejecting. We reject on a consent. Okay.
We are 27% there, yes.
Okay.
28.
All right, so $1 million and 2.7. Next question, Teresa and or Mary, how aggressive are we being as a city in selling this surplus property? Because that's clearly value back to the taxpayers and to the general fund.
Very aggressive, but I don't have any intention of giving it away.
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. Yeah. And there's several items on the agenda we're rejecting bids right on, that sort of thing. How is it that we're going to be more aggressive this fiscal year versus last fiscal year, Ms. O'Donnell?
You know, interesting question. Thank you for asking. One of the things that we're exploring and something the City of Houston is doing and having very good results with is auctioning property. So we're doing our due diligence. We'll bring that to the appropriate committee after we've done our research. But we think that might be an innovative strategy to exercise. The City of Houston seems to be having very good luck with it. So we've been in conversations about that.
Okay, so as opposed to the sealed bid process and an open auction.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. Mary, I would just encourage the manager through the director over here.
Yeah,
that's my third name for her now, for the director, to be more aggressive about this, not to give anything away. What we don't want to do as a city is to hold on to properties and then lease them away to another entity for a dollar a year. Don't be smirking. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Okay. We want to get surplus property off our books and recoup whatever money we can.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, T.O. Move approval.
Moved and seconded. Ms. Davis.
I have a question about agenda item. On the surplus property, Mary, what do we do with the money that we get off of that?
It goes to the general fund and it's part of our revenue.
How much do we, and this is the amount that we're asking?
No.
Okay, that we're selling it for. Do we have a buyer?
Yes.
Okay then. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 550, please.
Item number 50 is an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-area and form districts with planned development district number 784 for the Trinity River Corridor Special Purpose District on properties only of a mixed-use district, commercial service district, and an industrial manufacturing district. Specific use permit number 1484 for commercial amusement for Class A dance hall in an area generally bound by Interstate 35 and Interstate 30 to the northwest, the Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way to the northeast, and the Dart Railroad right-of-way to the southeast, and the Trinity Levee to the southwest for retention of SUP number 1484, and no change in the zoning on the property generally bound by Cadet Street, the existing stump, Riverfront Boulevard, and the Union Pacific Railroad. Mr. Mayor, you have one speaker signed up, and that is Art Anderson.
Please.
Is this Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Anderson.
Morning. Art Anderson, 1201 Elm Street, representing Buckley Oil. Buckley owns the property from 1803 Rock Island to 1811 Rock Island. They've operated their business on this property for over 50 years. We support the proposed ordinance. We appreciate the hard work Lewis and others have put into the plan that Lewis will be presenting to you shortly that you can see on the boards here. We do have a question about one provision in the ordinance, and this regards the certificate of occupancies for industrial uses. There are several pending COs that are out there, including ours. You may recall at the June meeting, there was some discussion about that and the length of time that staff would need to review these CO applications and turn around and get those approved. My recollection, I haven't looked at the tape, but I thought that the statement was made that those COs could be turned around and approved within a 30-day time period. There are several COs that are out there before the city today. We submitted ours about 2.5 months ago. We've had requests for information. We've responded to those, but we don't have a CO approved yet. We also have a concern because there's been a suggestion that our property be brought up to current development codes. This property was developed over 50 years ago, so that's basically a virtual impossibility. So I guess we're looking for some assurance. We do support the ordinance. We do support the plan. But I guess some assurance that those COs are going to be approved in a timely manner, and also that the current development codes will not be applied to these properties that were built, you know, 50 to 100 years ago. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any discussion? Mr. Kerwhite, please.
Anybody?
We only have one speaker signed.
No, on an item.
There was only one speaker signed up. We only had one speaker. If you want to make a very brief comment, but a very brief comment, take a minute and that's it.
Very quickly, I'm on my left over here. Sorry, I can't see you guys over there. Is the Trinity River Project.
Give us your name and address.
Lewis Okin, 2001 South Riverfront Boulevard.
Please, Lewis.
On my left over here is the Trinity River Project in 1892. You'll notice the island there is Rock Island, and that is Cedars West, and the businesses surrounding it, you'll notice the businesses surrounding it are what the Trinity River Project was originally about. And I'll shorten this. On my right here are our vision for what the Cedars West is going to look like. We've worked very, very hard and diligently with the council members on the committee, and we're very proud of what we've come up with. We're willing and eager and ready to roll up our sleeves and begin the redevelopment of Cedars West, beginning with ourselves. Thank you.
Mr. Kerwhite?
Thank you, Mayor. And let me first say that I've not been a big fan of this metal yard. I want to make sure that I'm on the record with that. But I want to also say I think that this is something that is much larger than just the metal yard that's there. And this, of course, is in Ms. Madrona's district. And it appears that there is a full-scale plan wrapped around this development, this proposed development. I want to also say that I do appreciate, Mr. Okin, I see you there, you coming forward and working with the city and the city council and your council member in advance, unlike others that failed to really come and address the total concern surrounding your place of business. All right? When you look at, and I'm speaking of Oak Cliff Metals, another metal shop distributor that failed to do what you're doing and had, in my opinion, they took the same time and effort to collectively look at the entire neighborhood and get with everyone in there so that the transformation could have been one not only just for them but that community, then maybe I would set with a different attitude. I want to ask just a few questions so I can find out the status. I understand if I get the city attorney to the microphone and all that's involved, Tom, if you'd join them too, and John, or whomever, the whole crew. This is a good-looking project. However, it still has the negative connotation of scrapyard, but in conjunction with the location, there are no houses there as they were over in other areas. And frankly, honest with you, let me be on the record to say, eventually, I would love to see an area in Dallas, be it a red light type of an area, where these types of businesses could be located and do business. I don't know if that's legal, illegal, or what, but I would like to see a general area to where all these types of businesses can operate, and where the neighborhoods and the city and everybody can say, hey, this is where that type of operation can go. Where, I don't know. I'm not suggesting any particular area, but I would like for us to move forward with that so that we won't have these individual cases where you have one here and one over here with a set of different circumstances and another one over here with a few different circumstances. And that's somewhere down the line. That could be 20 years from now. I don't know when it will be. But I still have a concern as related to how long. Is there a plan for, is there some type of a out plan for this, or is this something that we're doing and that will be here for the next 50 years?
Are you talking specifically about Oak Cliff Metals or about the entire area?
No, I'm talking about the Cedars, the Oaken Metals. Of course, for whoever can answer.
Oaken Metals will remain non-conforming, but they'll have to do several enhancements to their properties so that they are more compatible with the area. But they're still remaining non-conforming.
So, but they will be there and will remain non-conforming.
Correct.
Now let me specifically ask about the Oak Cliff Metal piece that we have. We have an agreement for them to leave within 9 months. That's what this council was voted upon. Am I correct? Mr. Perkins, am I correct with that?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
All right. So 9 months. So within 9 months, they're supposed to leave. Now, is that not date certain? Explain that to me.
Well, they were going to leave within 9 months of the agreement being executed.
Now the agreement as we stand here has yet to be executed, but it is now prepared to be executed.
It's prepared to be executed, yes.
So they've gotten, theoretically, a couple of extra months.
Well, it took a while to negotiate the final terms of the agreement, to get all the required signatures and that sort of thing.
I just want to be on the record with it, and I want to be transparent with it, because I have some concerns about that. And Mr. Oakens, the reason, and Mayor, that I enjoin this is because I want to make sure that any move that I'm making on a scrap metal yard is one, that's transparent, two, that's agreed upon, and three, that's executed expeditiously. And if we're going to say to one thing, and then we're going to say to Mr. Oakens and wrap our arms around, I like what you got here, okay, so I'm not having a problem with that. But at the same token, if I'm going to be fair, then I'm going to be fair across the board. And I want to make sure that we are doing things in a timely fashion. And from what I'm hearing, we're not doing it in a timely fashion equally. And I just want to say that. I know I'm mixing it up a little bit with this particular item, but this is involving a scrap metal yard. And I just got through raising sand about another one. And the other one, I didn't get the full extent of the execution, because what I'm getting, Mayor, is an additional 2 or 3 months, because they've been sitting back with an agreement unsigned, and had I not said something about it today, then I don't know when it would have been signed. And I tell my constituents, 9 months, we vote on 9 months, but yet then it takes a year. And it goes back to the same thing that I've been talking about waiting and holding the line and all of that. All I want to do is make sure that when I'm told something, that whatever it is that I'm told, when I tell my constituents something, that it's done. And the reason is you're up there because it's not done. And it would not be done if had I not raised hell back here just a few moments ago. Now it's ready to be signed, and I want to have it signed today. And that done, and then I want us to do whatever it is we're going to do with this plan. I'm supportive of this, barely, only because I can see all of the opportunities around this one. I can't see them around the other one. And it's hypocritical for me to be one way on one thing and against it on another side. So I'm going to stay transparent. It may sound like I'm rambling, but you all know what I'm talking about. And I'm darn well upset because it's not fair. It's not fair to me, and it's not fair to my constituents, and it's disrespectful to me as a council person for me to not know that the agreement has not been signed. It is not fair to me. I'm not lying to my people. And when you lie to me, it makes me look like a fool. It makes me look like I don't know what's going on. When people are looking for closure on something, if it's, the date is July, they didn't sign up for it for the following Christmas. And it has no reason to be sitting on anybody's desk. And I don't care who's mad and think I'm reprimanding and beating them up. I'm mad about it because I'm just now finding out about it only because this item appeared on the agenda. And it's not fair. With that, Ms. Madrona, this is in your district. It looks good. I have reservations, but at the same token, only because of the wraparound development that encompasses all of the industrial area, that this makes sense. And had the other people came and had something, then maybe we could have looked at it. I applaud you, Mr. Oakins, for what you're doing here and for your reaching out and working along with your council members and the city. I applaud this type of movement. I encourage you, though, in the very near future, we need to be looking even beyond and looking beyond somewhere. And I would ask you to assist us in trying to figure out what we can do because we have a scrap metal concern. And maybe it's just mine, but we have a scrap metal concern. And we need to work collectively together to make sure that it delivers what the city of Dallas really and truly deserves. Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Madrona, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I understand where you're coming from, Mr. Caraway. But the Cedars West, and I want to go back a little bit and thank the committee that the mayor appointed. And it was Ms. Koop, Mr. Salazar, Ms. Davis, Mr. Natinsky, and myself. We met with the property owners, and we challenged them. We said, show us, demonstrate to us how we can coexist, because all of us want development. We want this area to survive. We want this area to thrive. We understand how close it is to the Trinity. We understand how close it is to downtown and the possibilities. We want it to thrive. So we challenged them and said, show us how we can coexist. Property owners, with the leadership of Mr. Lewis Oaken, and you have to give him credit because he has been the leader here, has worked tremendously hard, traveled, researched other cities and even other countries of how a plan could work and how they could coexist and how an area could thrive. They did. They met with us a couple of times to try to get our ideas and then what they wanted to do. They came up with these plans. And I think that they went to work, and they're not asking anything from the city. My understanding is that they will pay their improvements. Correct, Mr. Oaken? They are going to do it. They're going to do it within 24 months. And I think they look absolutely great. These property owners and businesses support 60 families directly through their operations, and thousands more families and businesses through the purchases of the recyclables. Talking about greening, you know, we're always talking about Dallas going green. Mr. Oaken's business does that.
we're saving our landfill because they actually recycled there. You know, you move them further away, hate to say it, someone's going to find a dead end, dark dead end street, and we'll have them there for us to clean up. We talked about development. I think development could be years away just because of today's weak real estate market. We know that the real estate market is cyclical, and in today's market, it's almost impossible to get a loan to develop right now. I want to thank the owners, I want to thank the committee, and I want to thank the rest of the council for supporting us on June 23rd. And this ordinance, I think, really helps us. I think it's even going to help the area bring developers into the area to see what can be done, the potential that this area really has. And I think they're going to help us in doing that. Along with that, there'll be a day that I know that Mr. Oaken will know that maybe it's time to go. And, you know, he doesn't have to give his land away. That somebody will come and offer him a pretty penny and he may just want to sell his land or may decide to develop his land as others will come to develop the other pieces of land. But I think it really gives us an opportunity and the potential of what it can be. I believe him. I do look forward, and in 24 months, we will see just the new part of Riverfront between Cadiz and Corinth. And I congratulate you. I applaud you for something that you're going to do, and you're going to help us make that area look a lot better and keep the families working, keep those businesses going, keep employing people. And I know that we really appreciate your taxes. And right now we're looking for all the taxes that we can get. So I appreciate it, Mayor. Thank you very much. And I don't know if other people are going to say anything, but when it's appropriate time, I would like to make a motion to approve this.
What did you make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve item number 50.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank Ms. Medrano. I was a part of that committee. One of the things I do want to mention is that I have got the strap matter on Lamar and with Kenny Goldberg and his family. I think one of the things that we need to look at is a name change. This is a recycled green initiative. And this is the way I look at it. It's recycling, and it's green, and it does help the environment. So I think that's one of the things I talked to Teresa about is coming up with a brand, a name, because one of the things that we think about when we think about metal companies, we think about this really a lot, this bad vision or something within our city. But if it's branded right, I think it can work. Now, one of the things I also for the metal company that's on Lamar, and Mr. Oaken has a business on Lamar as well. We're going to be meeting to talk about how do we make that area look different, something similar to this on Lamar. The Goldberg own their property, so even if we were to ask them to leave, they still own the property, and so because they own the property, I think they should have the right to either develop it long term or enhance it as we see here. So I know that I'm going to be working with the consultants and the Goldbergs to and Mr. Oaken on trying to find a way on how we develop that Lamar area from the highway to, I think that's Hatchard Street, so that it can kind of fit in with the neighborhood. But I do want to say that this is a business, and it is hiring individuals within the community. So we just have to figure out a way, and I'm talking about especially for my district, on making it work. But I think we need to give it another brand, because this is recycled. This is green. This is a green initiative that I think helps the environment. So we just kind of have to figure out how do we make it work long term. Thank you.
Mr. Salazar, please. Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to support this because as we look at the development in our city, and we have many areas that need to be redeveloped, this process helps create a partnership with the community, a partnership with the city, and hopefully partnerships with future developers. What we don't want to do is to lay a framework where we go into an area that has businesses, has residences, and we don't want to be the instigator of driving everybody out. You know, and as a city, we can easily do that in many different ways. We can do it by neglect. We can do it by eminent domain. Or we can do it by calling it a plan to say that this is our future plan, and then by that plan, we're going to say that if you don't fit the plan, you're not going to be there, and you're not entitled to be there. While we can lay the best laid plans, we have many plans that have been passed by this council and many councils for decades, and many plans don't come to fruition for many reasons. You know, today we blame the economy. Tomorrow we may blame the federal government for regulations that they're imposing upon us that takes time to fulfill. But today is about the partnership where whatever plan we want to follow, whatever vision we have, is a vision that includes the property owners whose properties will be affected. It gives people the opportunity of choice and opportunity. A choice today may not be the most opportune time to take, because the choice today may mean that they lose in this economy. A choice tomorrow would be a better choice if they're able to take advantage of a better economy. And that's what I look at today with these landowners, property owners, businesses. You know, some people may say, well, they're junkyards, but they're also recyclers. You know, we want to promote green industry within our communities. We just can't outright ban all of them. Because they'll say, well, let them go out to some other city. Well, guess what? The other cities are going to start to do the same thing, and they have already started in many different ways, in many other areas that we've looked to control where things went. But, Mayor, I want to say that I support this because I think this is the opportunity to work with these landowners. And, you know, by moving forward today doesn't mean that this area will not be redeveloped in the future. What it means is that we have property owners that we're going to work with so that they understand, and they can also work with us to create the best opportunity and best business environment for a major developer to want to come in. And if you're able, for example, when you do land assembly and you have vital key components of properties that you want but aren't able to get, you know, either A, you build around them, or B, you work with them to try to create an opportunity where they're able to, you know, make an agreement for that property to be used in the development, but at the same time, that business is not given an opportunity to go to someplace that they can continue operation. So I think it's a win for both. For any situation you look at, it is a win. And I look forward to seeing this area develop again. I like the aesthetics that are being presented, but I think the opportunities that we're going to see are going to be a few more years down the road, but we need to get ready for that. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Tinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think one of the key points of this is we ended up having a partnership between a group of property owners in an area town that has long been neglected. I believe that the city is sort of culpable to letting it deteriorate to the point, maybe not all of it, but it's just one of those things out of sight, out of mind. Along comes the Trinity Project, and guess what? This this particular neighborhood, and I'll call it a neighborhood, it's a neighborhood of commercial uses, comes under our magnifying glass. And what we saw come out of that was a partnership. You had the property owners, the landowners, the people in the neighborhood stepping up to help solve the problem that we perceived that we had. What we've got before us today, and I'd like to remind colleagues, we passed the zoning for this unanimously before we went on break this summer. This is just the ordinance to codify what we passed. And what we have is, we put together a plan, and I think if you look at the drawings that are before you, and you might want to pay attention to the one on the upper, well, the one to the right of the council, the upper left picture has the big walking man iron sculpture. That is an internationally renowned and awarded sculpture made by a gentleman that happens to live in the neighborhood and has won worldwide recognition. So what you have is pieces of a plan put together that create maybe an eclectic, maybe a funky, maybe I'm not sure what the correct adjective is for the neighborhood, transforms it from what it is today into something that can be an asset to the city, and puts the onus on the property owners to make this happen. If they don't make this happen in 2 years, then they're gone. And that's quite an incentive. So this is not a free giveaway on the part of a council to say, well, guys, we believe in your dream. Maybe you'll do it. Maybe you won't do it. And I believe that the people there, we've had them in meetings. We've talked to them. You can just see that they're enthused and excited about making this happen. The proof will be in the pudding, and I'm sure that we'll be back, maybe invited on a little van tour to go down and see what happens down there in the Rock Island area. It also provides the opportunity for the landowners as needs transform and as development patterns transform, the particular properties in question can then transform to other uses. Everything is in place to enable that to happen without having to have it come back to the council. I personally think this is a win-win for both the property owners, the city of Dallas, and the community in that particular area, and I'm certainly going to support it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. There's been a motion, a second made. All those in favor, say signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if you'd read 67 and 68 into the order, into the record, please.
Item 67 and 68 are related to MoneyGram International Incorporated. Authorize a business personal property tax abatement agreement with MoneyGram International Incorporated and or its affiliates and subsidiaries located at 2828 North Harwood Street, Indigan. Amount of 50% on the value of new business personal property for 10 years in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program. And 68 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement in an amount not to exceed $278,500 with MoneyGram International Incorporated and or its affiliates and subsidiaries related to the relocation of its headquarters to 2828 North Harwood Street, pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code in accordance with the city's public-private partnership.
Mr. Mayor, I think this one requires two seconds.
Yes. Mr. Tinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we need to take these individually, or can we take them together?
Together.
Together, okay. This is just another example of our Economic Development Department working hard to go out and attract the appropriate type of businesses to Dallas, Texas. I believe we've got a representative of MoneyGram out here in the audience. He was at the Economic Development Committee meeting yesterday. This was recommended for approval to the council unanimously by the Economic Development Committee. This is a company that's currently located up in the cold northern parts of the United States where they have big mosquitoes. Yeah, well, no, further north than that, Mr. Newman. This is called Minnesota. And we have been working with this company. It is a Fortune 1000 company in excess of $1 billion annually in assets. They are going to be moving into what we would call the uptown area. We'll still call it part of the downtown area of the city of Dallas, bring 150 jobs. These are very well-paying jobs. This will be their world headquarters for MoneyGram International going forward, and we're certainly glad to have them here in the city of Dallas. And with that, I'll be moving approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Salazar and Ms. Medrano. Ms. Davis, please.
Yes. First of all, I want to, this is in Ms. Medrano's district. Congratulations, Ms. Medrano, for having MoneyGram in your district. I know you're going to speak and say something about it. Also, I want to thank Mayor Lepper for working on this. Is this the secret that you had for us?
Not much of a secret now.
So I want to thank you for working to bring MoneyGram, and this is their national headquarters. Will this be their headquarters?
It's international. It's very much an international company.
International, okay.
A lot of work, and I'll touch on that, but a lot of work in Asia and especially Central South America.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. So I want to thank you for even thinking of the concept to let them relocate here. So I welcome MoneyGram. Who is here for MoneyGram?
Lee Stastny, who is the Chief Financial Officer. Lee, thanks for being with us.
Can you come down closer, please? So you got to move your family and everything here, huh?
Wouldn't you?
Okay, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for being here. And if you decide to move here, I'm thinking that you will move here. And if you don't, we'll still thank you for bringing MoneyGram to Dallas, the International MoneyGram. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We are looking forward to relocating to Dallas. So thank you very much.
Please.
Mr. Allen?
Real quick, Lee, I just want to also we visited yesterday, but please let your all the employees know what a big Texas welcome and a big Dallas welcome that's in store for them. We value this relationship. Dallas has so much to offer. We know it's a transition, but it's going to be a good transition for all the folks. But again, thank you so much, and make sure that a heartfelt goes back to your folks there, and how much we're looking forward to them being part of our community.
Thank you, Mr. Newman, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I would echo Mr. McKinsey's comments, Ms. Davis's comments, and Mr. Allen. You're being welcomed. Your company's being welcomed with open arms. Dallas is a great city, can-do city. I moved here 30 years ago as soon as I possibly could. But we welcome you. We welcome your employees that will come with you. And a very public thank you to the mayor. We take for granted too often the connections, the skill sets, the ability, the passion that our mayor has in bringing business to Dallas and being our leader both within the city and outside of our city. And very publicly, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate your efforts. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Kelly, please.
Ms. Newman, any more butter left? Any more butter? No, for the mayor, you're putting all this butter on the mayor. Let me just say this, though. Ms. Newman, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And to the mayor, and to the public, you get out there and you get after it. And each time you end up hitting a home run for the city of Dallas. I say that wholeheartedly because that's exactly what's done. Mr. Lee, let me just say this one thing to you. I represent District 4, and I need some MoneyGram, and I need some of your employees that are locating here to make sure that you tell them that, or suggest to them, that they take a look in District 4 for the residency, and then also look at all over the city as well. But I want to take this time to welcome you and encourage you to know that you're in a winning city, and you're with a winning mayor. He's our fearless leader. We now have a winning baseball team, so that ought to add a little bit more excitement to the move for MoneyGram. But you're certainly welcome here in the city of Dallas, and we're going to roll out the red carpet and welcome each and every one of your employees as our new citizens and give you all the support that we possibly can. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Medrano, please.
Thank you. To Lee, thank you very much for coming. We welcome you, and anytime you, I'm kind of the queen of the dive, so if you ever want to go and dine somewhere, I definitely do know all the locations. I know that there's 150 jobs that I don't know if everyone will be transferring to Dallas, but if not, where can people apply?
1-800-MONEY-GRAM.
We have a human resources representative located in Dallas already at 2828 North Harwood, so they should reach out to our MoneyGram. We have an internet website as well, and we are going to be doing quite a bit of local hiring within Dallas area as well. So,
thank you very much and welcome.
Thank you.
Terrific. Lee, thanks for being with us, and we're excited about having MoneyGram here. And please give our best to Pam. Pam is the CEO. I can tell you she is a great supporter of Dallas and has been for a long period of time. We went to get two different cities on this, and in the end, what made the difference wasn't what we're voting on today. It was the regulatory environment. It was the location. It was the cost of living. It was cost of doing business, those sorts of things. As Mr. Natinsky mentioned, MoneyGram is roughly about a $1 billion company, looking to grow substantially, thinks they have some very attractive prospects out there. Clearly, Asia is a major market. Mexico, Central America, and South America are major markets for them, too. Our location, the DFW airport, all of those components played into this decision. Lee, we're just very thankful and express our gratitude for the relocation. We want that relocation to be terrific, not only for the company, but for the individuals, too. So please know that we're available. We're ready to help in any way that we can, and we're just looking forward to great success on MoneyGram. Clearly, we hope that those jobs grow. I know you do, too, as the prospects for the company do. We think they'll be great here in the Dallas area. We appreciate it. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 65, please.
Item number 65 is consideration of appointments to board and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. Mr. Mayor, we have one nominee for the Animal Shelter Commission being nominated by Councilmember Newman, representing the general public. Mr. Mayor, you want to take the chair as well of the Reinvestment Zone Board?
You want to deal with this individually, Mr. Newman? Okay, then read the other ones in, too. We'll take them all together, and then
okay.
I'll give you
the And also a nominee, Robert L. Good, who's currently serving on the Reinvestment Zone 5 and 11 Board for chair of those two boards.
Okay. Mr. Newman, please.
Mayor, Council, I move approval of Chris Watts to the Animal Shelter Commission and also Robert Good as chairman of 5 and 11 TIF Boards.
Appreciate it. It's been moved and seconded with no other discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 66, please. This will require a two-thirds vote.
Yes, sir. Authorize a zoning application on property with delinquent taxes located at 11323 Woods Meadow Parkway.
If I could have a motion on that. Mr. Cadane. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. The record will show that that was unanimous vote, thereby meeting the two-thirds requirement. Madam Secretary, item 69, please.
Item 69 is a authorized the first of two 12-month renewal options to the service contract with Enterprise Community Partners Incorporated, which is a nonprofit corporation for implementation of the Mortgage Assistance Program for the period October 1st, 2010 through September 30th, 2011.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Mayor, can we get one more second on that one?
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moved and seconded twice. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 70 and 71 together, and that will require 2 seconds, too, please.
Yes, sir. Item 70 related to Oak Cliff Gateway TIF District is authorized, number one, a development agreement with Hydrogen on Tilden LLC to dedicate future TIF revenues for eligible project costs related to the environmental remediation and demolition and public infrastructure improvements to be located at 265 East Tilden Street in Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone Number 3, Oak Cliff Gateway TIF, and to the Oak Cliff Gateway TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $3 million from future Oak Cliff Gateway TIF District revenues in accordance with the development agreement. And 71 is a resolution declaring the intent of the TIF Reinvestment Zone Number 3 to reimburse Hydrogen and Tilden LLC up to $3 million for certain TIF eligible project costs related to 265 East Tilden Street in the Oak Cliff Gateway.
Thank you, Mr. Newman.
Mayor and Council, these two items relate to a proposed purchase of property in the Oak Cliff Gateway. During the period of time that it went through the TIF process and coming to me as the councilman in the district, the property was actually sold to someone else. So this particular TIF application, for all practical purposes, is null and void. Therefore, I move in agenda item number 70 and 71 to deny.
We have a motion to deny. That has been seconded. And that will be sufficient, I believe.
Mr. Mayor, we had 2 seconds on that one.
We ended up with Ms. Margolin and Ms. Koop.
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to deny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. That is denied. Madam Secretary, item number 13, please. 1-3. On the addendum.
On the addendum, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item number 13. Addendum item number 13 is authorized acquisition of a temporary work area easement from the Housing Authority of the City of Dallas on 2 tracts of land containing a total of approximately 63.29 acres located at the intersection of U.S. Highway 175 and Municipal Street for the Rochester Levee Project Phase 1.
No. Mr. Lehman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an item that came to the Trinity Committee yesterday. And it's clearly something very important to the overall efforts for flood protection. The reason why I pulled it this morning, Council, follows the comments that I made at the Trinity Committee, and that is a growing concern that I, as an individual council member, and several other council members of the Trinity Committee had about the lack of sense of urgency of the Corps of Engineers, as well as the additional costs involved that we as a city are incurring as we move down the road to make sure that our levees remain safe. No question whatsoever that we are very focused as a city, as a professional staff, as a council, to make sure that our levees stay safe. But what I'm again drawing very publicly is the concern about the need for a greater sense of urgency on the part of the Corps of Engineers, and a concern that I'm raising, as I have in the past, about what I call unfunded mandates. This is a situation where the city is being asked to spend $286,000 to lease space. Now, it's a thing that we're going to have to do, so I'll support it today, but I'm being very publicly in saying that the dollars that we as a city, and when I say city, I mean taxpayers, are incurring are tremendous, and we need to get our partners, the Corps of Engineers, as I've said, to have a greater sense of urgency. I just want to raise that issue. We talked about the nature of this particular issue at the Trinity Committee, and we need to move forward on it, but we need to step up the public pressure on the Corps of Engineers. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins, please.
Carol, you go first.
This is And I do understand that Mr. Newman is the chair of the Trinity River, but Jill had briefed me on this, and she also had briefed all of us on the Trinity River Committee. This is something that has to happen. And I asked the question to Jill, and Jill told me that we had no other choice. We had to do this, and at this point I told her, let's move forward with it, and kind of, you know, we just got to make it work at this point. So it is what it is, and if we want to start finishing our levees and working with the Corps, I think that we need to work with them and not against them. And so because of that, I'm willing to move forward on this issue, and so that we can kind of get started with our levees. I move for approval.
Second. Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes. Gio, please. Gio, you know, I was listening yesterday on our part of the Trinity Committee, but I do have some great concerns since we're talking about the Trinity. And my concern is, you know, we're talking about levees, repair, and we need to repair our levees. I don't know we have enough funding to refer the levy properly. Could you briefly kind of tell me what is our plans, the future of the levy with the core that we're drilling in the banks of the levees? And they said that we would not might make the deadline for the map to be redrawn. Could you just give me an update on that just briefly?
Yeah, just real briefly, for the
Yeah, we're, if we get into this,
okay.
We're let me
back up then. Is there a first statement that we are running on a timeline?
Absolutely, running on a timeline, and getting this lease is a part of that timeline because we've got to fix this portion of the Rochester levee as a part of that timeline.
It's a very strict timeline.
It's a very strict timeline. And we don't want to give the Corps an excuse to not get this work done by the FEMA deadline, and right. So that's why we're pushing for this.
If we're
going to
hold them
lease.
Accountable, we got to be accountable too.
Okay. I guess, Mary Sloan, a question to you. We're on a very, very strict timeline. What about financially? Do we have the money to meet the timeline?
The plan we've laid out to you previously about these fixes is still works, and we do have the money, yes.
So we do have the money?
Yes, as the plan exists that we presented to you
before. As the plan exists now, but the plan could change. Is that a fair statement?
Well, what we said yesterday in the committee meeting was, as we get more information, if we have any issues with it, we'll be back in January with you.
So my question is, that concern is that if you do plan, if the plan do change, what is option B to make sure we have the money to make sure? And rewind that, Mary, you know, and that my concern is that we probably had 10% of the property tax around the Trinity. And we're talking about we raised property tax this year. I'm looking at next year that we might lose $4 million worth of property tax if it devalues there. And that's a big concern, you know, to the budget next year. And we did reduce the property tax along the trending. And so, you know, with money, whatever we need to do, and I guess, Dave, going back to you as a chair of the Trinity, we need to be open-minded. And whatever money we need to pull out to fix or whatever we need to do to redo the budget, we need to protect our taxpayers. Because we will lose property tax value along the Trinity. And that was at about 10%.
I think the issue you raise is very fair. I think that is exactly what the city manager has done and this council has done, is move exactly down that road of trying to address it as quickly as we can. We have been asked two different times, this is the third, to address the issue. We have moved expeditiously on each one of them. To your point, And we've put the necessary resources into it because of all the reasons that you said. It's a big economic issue for us. To your point, though, it is not clear what Plan B would be. In other words, we would have to understand what the Corps would tell us comes out of the testing, out of the analysis, and that would determine what Plan B. Again, we've got an anticipation that we'll move down a road and continue moving down that, as Jill outlined a moment ago. But part of what your question of Plan B is what the analysis would say in the interim in January.
So in January, then?
In January, we think we'll have an indication.
An indication, but then along with funding also.
Well, we come back to you in January, we'll talk to you about funding. There's no use supposing about something we don't have to.
I understand, but, you know,
we'll have an interim look in 30 days.
In 30 days. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Helpley?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Jordan, thank you for your work, but most I want to thank Ms. Davis for your insight on this and moving forward with this, because as Ms. Davis said, this is a matter that we do not have a choice about. The Corps, as this council, is concerned about the public safety. I respect very much what the Corps does,
yes,
and the fact that the Corps knows,
yes,
what it's doing. I agree with Ms. Davis that we have to work in cooperation with the Corps. I am always a bit skeptical about the public entering into a conversation without the necessary expertise. And so I would ask us council members to be very careful about inviting the public into a conversation where the public does not have the necessary knowledge, fact, or expertise. Again, I reiterate, I respect the Corps for what they are doing. They know what they're doing. We as the elected officials may not be entirely satisfied with the timeline, But rather than criticizing the Corps, I would prefer that we continue to work with them to come to an agreed timeline and a mutually acceptable solution. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And I think it was, as indicated yesterday, probably the best relationship with the Corps that we've had in a long time, and we'll continue to develop that. Ms. Davis, and I've got to remind everybody, we need to come back to the temporary work easement, because as you saw, our diligent city attorney came over and mentioned that we are a long, long ways away from the original item that's on the agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. Since we have Jill here, and I want to say that that Jill is working with her staff. We will be having some community meetings. Am I right?
Yes.
So we will have, and the Corps will be with us, at least in my district. I can't speak for anybody. I'm only speaking for my district. We will have two or three meetings in District 7 with the Corps to talk about two important things. And one we mentioned, and the other one is FEMA. So we will keep the community, at least for District 7, totally involved on the two major changes that the Corps talked to us about yesterday. So there's nothing to hide. There's no secret out there. This, I think, will help them long term, and it's something that I think they have, that they need. The only conversation I had yesterday is we got to continue to talk about the price. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been Mr. Newman, please.
I will keep to your direction, Mayor, and keep to this item. The reason why I pulled the agenda item for public discussion was because this $286,000, I promise you, was nowhere near in the original intention and the bond program as funded and approved by citizens. And we have a trend line established that we are spending money for the Trinity Project, absolutely essential for the safety of our levees, that is beyond the original intention of the taxpayers. And I'm just raising this issue. Although it's $286,000, I just want very clear awareness. At the Trinity Committee, we briefed a broad section of the financials on the Trinity Project so that council members are informed and engaged in what's going on. So I'm supportive of this agenda item. I just want to make sure the public, and I want to make sure the council is clearly aware of this, so as we go down the road, we don't look back and say, what happened? Where did all the money go? So, Mayor, I'm speaking to the agenda item.
No, I appreciate it. Moved and seconded. I would add to what you said, Mr. Newman, and I think it's important for people to understand that when you said the Trinity River Corridor Project, a lot of pieces that people associate with that in terms of recreation elements, those sorts of things, this has nothing to do with it. If we weren't doing that, we would still be dealing with the same need to address the flood control one way or another. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item 14, please, and that will require 2 seconds.
Yes, sir.
On the agenda.
Yes, sir. Agenda item number 14 is authorized number one, a public hearing to be held on November the 17th, 2010, to receive comments on an amended City of Dallas proposal to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for a community development block grant section 108 guarantee loan program loan in the amount of $8,492,000 to provide funds for the Lancaster Urban Village Project for land acquisition at the southeast quadrant of the intersection of South Lancaster Road and Ann Arbor Avenue, and to fund a loan interest reserve site work, commercial development, and development of a parking garage for a mixed-use transit-oriented development along the South Lancaster Road corridor across from the Veterans Affairs Medical Center, and at the close of the public hearing, number two, consideration of an application to HUD for a CDBG, a Section 108 Guarantee Loan Program loan for the Lancaster Urban Village Project in an amount not to exceed $8,492,000.
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Atkins and by Mr. Caraway. Ms. Davis also. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order. We'll now move to addendum item number 17.
Okay.
That is an item that was below the line.
Okay.
It references item 29 on the regular agenda. And again, this is a corrected one that was below it, below the item. So we're really looking at item number 29, but because of the way it came out below the line on the addendum, we'll need to consider it individually.
Item number 17 is an ordinance established residential and commercial rate rider infrastructure replacement for a natural gas service to be charged by Atmos Energy Corporation.
Motion.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Order. With that, we've completed our agenda for this morning. We will reconvene at 1:45 for our afternoon agenda. 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. We're in recess.
What time
are we
saying?
Well, good afternoon. Let's begin our afternoon session. On the consent agenda, there are three items. If you would read those into the record, we'll take a motion. And
Mr. Mayor, I just received word that 73 and 74 have been asked to be removed by Council Member Salazar for item 73 and Council Member Hill for item 74, Mr. Mayor. So that leaves us with one item on the zoning.
Just treat each one individually. That's 272.
Yes, sir. Item 72 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a community retail district on property zone and agricultural district on the southwest line of Lassiter Drive, southeast of Lawson Road. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Anyone opposing? Anyone in favor?
We're on item 72. If you would like to speak on 72, either in favor or against.
Mr. Mayor?
No speakers. If I could have a motion on 72, please.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 73, please.
Item 73 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a recycling collection center on property zoned in Industrial Research District on the northeast corner of Sylvan Avenue and Fabrication Street.
Any speakers?
You want Mr. Cossum to speak on the item, Mr. Mayor?
Sure. Why don't we see where we stand?
Okay.
Ms. Salazar,
I have a motion on this, but I can
have a real quick question for the applicant.
Is it a deferral?
No.
Okay. Then fine.
No. Peter Cavanaugh, 1620.
Let me hold you for just a second.
Wait.
Okay. He's got to give me the score.
Pardon me. We sent 19 notices to property owners with insurance fee of the error request, received 5 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition. Across the majority.
So it was almost a Ranger score last night.
Sorry?
It was almost a Ranger score last night.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Planning Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Peter Cavanaugh, 1620 Hanley Drive, Dallas. Fred, answer any questions you may have.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. Mr. Salazar, do you want to be here?
Thank you, Mayor. Before I go into the motion, I'm very familiar with the location. I think it's an appropriate location. The only issue is that on Sylvan Avenue, which is a pretty busy street, sometimes when you have a lot of traffic to go to recycle, instead of the traffic building up on Fabrication, it actually builds up on Sylvan, which creates impedes the traffic basically trying to get onto Fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
And I know across the street from Fabrication, on the same side of Sylvan, you do have a retail bakery, and if I was that owner, I wouldn't want you guys to be there because you're blocking my traffic. But the question is, the motion is going to be about to approve it for 2 years. We can't do an automatic two, but it could be for a 2-year period. But I would like you to look at that and address that issue in the future, and we'll see how you do in 2 years. And like I said, if the traffic would come just on Fabrication instead of building up on Sylvan and then blocking Fabrication as they pile in to go in there. And I know there's not a lot of other businesses down there, but the pileups do come on Sylvan. So that's the only thing I'm going to ask that you guys look at. You want to address that briefly?
In fact, that came up at the Planning Commission as well. One of our neighbors was concerned about that, and the lady who's not here that works the window, so to speak, for them, her job is to go out, when that occurs, is to get people to go on down fabrication, turn around. Sometimes people just tend to want to stop at the nearest to the driveway as opposed to queuing in the line. That line, normally the biggest problems on Saturday morning, that's when people take stuff from their houses, but they are aware of that and attempting to fix that.
Okay, because that's the only concern I have, because you know, if you have traffic building up on Sylvian,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's, Sylvian is a pretty good stretch for
very
the railroad track.
Turn, yeah.
It can be kind of it can be dangerous, and also you can also be obstructing the vision of cars from fabrication trying to cross over to Sylvian.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a really big truck there obstructing, you know, there's no way to see beyond the truck to see if there's any traffic that could I guess interfere with you crossing Sylvian to get to the other side. But being that as it is, I'll ask you to work with our transportation department.
Okay.
I'll have some of the transportation contact you.
Okay.
If we need to do signage, somebody here from transportation will talk about signage briefly. Mr. Cotham, would you like to volunteer on that? To put up signage to help direct the traffic, you know, because it's basically a salvage where they drive in, they'll unload, they've got to present identification per the city ordinance, which means that they have to spend some time to confirm identification, product, and then the sale.
Yes, sir.
Who do we talk to about signage for that area to make sure that cars on Sylvian understand that that's not an appropriate, you know, staging area?
We'll visit with transportation engineering and make sure that we can accommodate any signage there that's necessary to indicate no stacking, basically, along the Sylvian itself. We'll also work with the applicant on an on-site management plan to see if there's a different way we can arrange this.
No, I don't know, maybe circulating around the block or something like that. Cause it's pretty heavily industrial. There aren't any residential, except across Sylvian, but the issue is really more on the eastern side of Sylvian. So we can address that, I guess, the circulation and then the staging while they wait to queue into lines to sell. I have no problem supporting this.
Okay.
So with that being said, Mayor, on case number...
Good point raised on that. That's a
thank
good point.
You. On case number Z090-195, I move to close the public hearing and approve SUP number 1813 for a recycling collection center with the condition that this SUP expires on October 13, 2012. This SUP is not eligible for automatic renewal.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, if you would read 74 in the record, please.
74 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for certain mixed uses on property zoned a community retail district and a single-family district on the west line of Lancaster Road, south of Ann Arbor Avenue, and on the west line of Bentley Drive, south of Ann Arbor Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 76 notices to property owners from 500 feet of their request, received 3 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition. Requires simple majority to approve.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone would like to speak in favor of the recommendation? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, sir.
Hello, Paris Rutherford, 4301 Druid Lane. Catalyst Development, working with Citywide Community Development. We're the developers of this project with Citywide, and we're obviously in favor. We appreciate the good work that staff has done with us in getting to this point, and I'm here to take any questions you might have.
Anyone else who would like to speak in favor of the recommendation? Mr. Mayor, that appears to be all the speakers.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and colleagues, this project has been a long time coming. This is the development along the Lancaster Corridor, the TOD TIP district that you heard about several months ago. Many, many people have worked with this project. We're certainly a long way from completion, but I'm going to call out some names now, some people who have been very critical in this effort. I'll probably call them again in the next several months, but Mr. Rutherford has certainly been most helpful and willing to take on this development. Sherman Roberts from Citywide Development Corporation, David Costum of our own staff, Mr. A.C. Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez stayed with this late nights, early mornings, when everybody else would go home, Mr. A.C. Gonzalez stayed with them. Our legislative team, there was an issue. I started to say a small issue, but it wasn't. It was a rather major issue in Washington with this and some other things. Our legislative team, including Brett Wilkinson and Anna Holmes, worked with that. We are also very, very grateful, in case they're listening, to the HUD Fort Worth office, particularly the head of that office and the undersecretary, Sims. They were all very helpful in making sure this project happened. And Ms. Brooks from the Urban League, thank you, Councilwoman. All of them have worked very hard, and we are looking forward to seeing this. And Mr. Mayor, if you will just indulge me for just a moment, I would like to ask Mr. Sherman Roberts and Mr. Parrish Rutherford to come to the podium. And to just, Mr. Rutherford, you've already been to the podium, but come back, and I want y'all to say just a very brief word about this very, very exciting project.
Good afternoon to the Mayor and City Council. My name is Sherman Roberts, President and CEO of Citywide Community Development Corporation. The project that Ms. Hill talks about in her district is a mixed-use development, which I think all of you, most of you have seen, consists of 193 units of apartments and 14,000 square foot of mixed-use development and a parking garage. It's unique because it's going to be the first project in over 40 or 50 years that has been done in that area, and we hope that this will be a stimulus to help the whole quarter. And my partner, Mr. Parrish Rutherford here, this is a great partnership of a for-profit, non-profit partnership and with the City of Dallas, and we hope and we thank you for your continued support of this project.
I would echo that process and again show our gratitude and appreciation to you all, the city staff. This has been a long and arduous process from the standpoint of working through a lot of complex details. But we have gotten to the point now where we've got zoning here in front of you. You'll be hearing some other items in the next few meetings that will really put this to the point where we can start construction early next year, and we're very excited to be at this point with you. So thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. I am very, very excited, along with my other Southern Sector Council colleagues. One person I did not name Council colleagues because I was deliberately saving for last is Mayor Tom Leppert. Mayor Leppert has been instrumental in assisting us with pushing forward Southern Sector development. And Mayor Leppert, I want you to know that we do recognize the tremendous impetus that you have given to the Southern Sector projects, including this one. We're grateful for that, and we expect you to be with us over the long haul. And when we open this project next year, we expect you to be there cutting the ribbon along with us.
Slam dunk.
And with that, Mr. Mayor, I move to thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval with the following changes. And this is zoning item number 090-203. Remove drive approaches from the street frontage calculation for street tree requirements. Add planters to the list of items not considered obstructions of sidewalk width, and sidewalks must comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. I so move.
Second. It's been moved and seconded by a number of folks. Appreciate that. This is an important one, and just following on your words, Michelle, if we can do some good things in that Lancaster quarter and get that moving, it's got the potential to influence a lot of other neighbors and communities around it. It's the key, and we've got a special opportunity with the VA hospital and the employment base that we've got there. So, good thing. Ms. Davis, please.
First of all, thank you.
On this budget, I want to commend Citywide for staying in it for the long haul. And this is another good example of some good work that's going on in the Southern Sector. So I want to thank my Southern Sector colleagues for all the work that they have done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Taylor, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I was running just a little late, but I want to just kind of chime in and to say that, and to Ms. Hill, you know, working together, you can accomplish things. The two motels that were next door to the Urban League, before and while those motels were standing, absolutely no one would come there. And they've been there for a number of years. But through the support of you, Mayor, and the cooperation with the police department, especially Tom Perkins, our city attorney's office, we managed to, and Michael Davis, my planning commissioner, and the late Bishop McGriff, and the community. Those motels stand no more. And when those motels were standing there, the kids that would pass there, they would pass, and it was a drug haven. There were ladies of the evening. There were drug activity. There was stolen merchandise, some of everything. And Ms. Hill allowed me to ease into her district to that portion, and she so designated that that was the area that I was to maintain. But we managed to collectively get those motels shut down through a process, and through that process of shutting them down, then we tore them down. Now, after being torn down, then when you look at when you remove the blight and you remove the things that's been holding the community hostage, then great things happen like they are happening today. Great things with great developers, great new ideas, great new opportunities, jobs, education, learning, the whole nine yards, it comes into play. This is what we are, this is something and what we should and will continue to be about. If it happens here, and this is to the council, if it happens in our eyes, on our watch, here on the Lancaster corridor, this can happen all over the southern sector, the city of Dallas, north, east, west, all over our city. The same Ms. Coop and Mr. Allen, the problems that you all are having with apartments, blight apartments in your area. And Ms. Margolin, you have something that's disturbing you off in your area. When we get rid of that, then great things will come. And I say to the representatives of the seventh sector, we still have a long way to go because this is just one. We have many, many, many other areas that are just in disarray as the one that we're cleaning up. Hopefully we'll be able to celebrate it, and we'll celebrate more, and collectively we'll have that one fantastic city that we're all wishing to have, that's just one D-A-L-L-A-S, and one that looks alike. But we can't do it without great people like you, cooperation with us, the colleagues, working together hand in hand, and support of this council, and also the support of our mayor and our fantastic staff. So I simply say thank you.
Mr. Jackson, please.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow Dwayne Carraway. But one person we kind of left out in the committee, you know, thank Ron Dukinsky, and for the Economic Development Committee, you know, we struggle with this project, and this, we can see this going forward. To me, I see Dwayne Carraway and Buster Jones Hill and this project as a gateway going into UNT Dallas. You know, we see Dart Line going up the hill. We see a new university is already there. We also see a great high school is going to be built there. So, you know, with the leadership of Tom Leppard, had a visionary to talk about Lancaster Corridor when he first came about. Now we see some of the vision come true. It's still up to us, our colleagues, to make sure that we don't forget the gateway going to UNT Dallas. And again, thank you, colleagues, and thank also the staff and everyone here to have that visionary to make sure that it's going to go forward. It's going to be a great project. Again, thank you very much.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 75, please.
Item 75 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a utility or government installation other than listed on property within Tract A of the Plan Development District 468, the Oak Cliff Gateway Special Purpose District on the east side of Beckley Avenue at the terminus of I-30 Frontage Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 17 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received no reply in favor, and two replies in opposition. Requires a majority to approve this.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Thank you very much. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and council members, I'm going to move to defer this, keep the public hearing open and move it to defer to our December 8th meeting. I'm still in conversation with the City Attorney's Office and Development Services in order to determine if we were to grant an SUP, how we would eventually get them out, so at the end of the SUP period. So I move to keep the public hearing open, but defer to December 8th.
December 8th. Second? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? To order 76.
76 requires 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor. It's a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a manufactured home district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned an agricultural district on the southwest line of Lassiter Drive, southeast of Lawson Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 765 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 6 replies in favor and 6 replies in opposition. It requires a simple majority to approve it. It is a designated case.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve this item number 76 for the City Planning Commission recommendation Z090-163. So move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. We had 2 seconds, Ms. Hill and Mr. Salazar. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, 77, please.
77 is a public hearing to receive comments on the proposed City of Dallas FY 2010-11 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan, and at the close of the public hearing, consideration of approval of the City of Dallas FY 2010-11 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on item number 77? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Motion in regard to 77, please.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? To order 78.
Item 78 is a public hearing to receive comments on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Maple Douglas, located near the intersection of Maple Avenue and Butler Street and adjacent street right-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Maple Douglas LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. And in addition, pursuant to Section 51A 6.108(c)(3) of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Clark. I'm a senior consultant with W&M Environmental Group. The company is addressed at 906 East 18th Street in Plano, and I'm a registered professional geoscientist representing the applicant for this MSD.
Thank you for being here.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the item? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. McDron, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and approve agenda item number 78.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 79, please.
Item 79 is a public hearing to receive comments on the potential change of park use to non-park use of, number one, approximately 257 acres of land being all of Elgin D. Robertson Park, and two, approximately 25 acres of land being part of Joy Jorsa Park, And at the close of the hearing, consideration of the resolution authorizing the potential change of use of the parkland. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on item number 79? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I can't speak first person on the Elgin Robertson Park area, but I will be an advocate for at least the 25 acres that are part of the, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Jerry Gar... How do you pronounce it correctly? Gargosis? I hate to be disrespectful. Is that it, Gargosis?
Juice.
There you go. The 25 acres of land there are out parcels from a development that we are, the park department is currently developing adjacent to Pinnacle Park. And so I think this is a good deal, a good thing for the city. The council approved putting it on the ballot, and I think what this does is takes it out of the park designation, and so I move approval.
All right, been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, to order. Madam Secretary, if you would read into the record 80 through 83.
80 through 83, Mr. Mayor?
Please.
Okay. Related to reinvestment zone and business personal property tax abatement authorization. 80 is a public hearing to receive comments concerning the creation of a reinvestment zone for commercial tax abatement to be known as the City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 74, incorporating the 5.5 acres of property located at 4525 Joseph Harden Drive in Dallas. For the purpose of granting economic development incentives to Consolidated Container Company and West Garden Realty Investors. 81 is an ordinance designating the 5.5 acres of property located at 4525 Joseph Harden Drive in Dallas for the purpose of granting economic development incentives to Consolidated Container Company and Weingarten Realty Investors and establishing the boundaries of the reinvestment zone and providing for an effective date. Item 82 is authorizing 60% business personal property tax abatement agreement for 5 years with Consolidated Container Company and the Weingarten Realty Investors located on 5.5 acres of property located at 4525 Joseph Harden Drive in Dallas. And item number 83 is authorizing Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program with Consolidated Container Company associated with retaining the company's operation in Dallas. Is there anyone that would like to speak on the items that were just read into the records, items 80 through 83? Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a company investing almost $8 million and bringing a minimum of 40 new jobs in the Oak Cliff, Lower Oak Cliff area of the city. So I've met with them a couple times. This comes a recommendation through the Economic Development Committee as well as staff. So on item number 80, 81, 82, and 83, I move approval.
Moved and seconded.
The second
was Ms. Medrano and Mr. Matinsky.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So it is now 2:15 p.m. on October 13th of 2010. The City Council will now go into a closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from a consultant city attorney on the following matters. Krasovsky versus Dallas and legal issues regarding a residential commercial rate rider for infrastructure replacement for natural gas service proposed to be charged by Atmos Energy Corporation. I anticipate will probably be 15 to 30 minutes. With that, if I could ask the council to excuse themselves, we'll go in the back briefing room. We'll begin our afternoon speakers. The first one is Willie Howard. Willie Howard.
My name is Willie Howard, and I stay in Pleasant Grove, and on two Tuesdays ago that I was up on my roof, and we heard three blasts that had shook the houses on my street. And when I looked down, I saw my neighbors coming out in the street. They didn't know what was going on. They was asking what's happening. And so I'm coming out in their pajamas because they work at night, and they just didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know what was going on.
But I found out that one of the ladies went into a house and looked at the TV. It was on Channel 11 that was running across that the city was doing some kind of test blast for the FBI. I don't know, you know, right then I didn't know what it was. But what we would wanted to let you all know that that when you have something like that, let us know something in the mail or, you know, or send someone around, because in 1980 we went through that same thing, kind of. This is what we thought it was going on again, and they was blasting, the city was blasting below Trinity River, and what they was doing, they was putting sewer lines down, but they was blasting, and they tore up a lot of houses between Pemberton Hills and my street, and the city paid off so many, and so many didn't get anything to fix their houses. And so this is what we wanted. We didn't want to argue, but we wanted to let you all know, to let us know something ahead of time when you're doing something like that. And because it really frightened a lot of people, and we thought just it was the same thing over again like in the 80s. And so that was about it. And I'm a Vietnam veteran, and it kind of sounded like a little small napalm going off when I was up on the roof. So, but we just want to let you all know that let us know something when you're doing something like that. And I would like for you all to have this. This is a some of the names that was on our street and other places that also that heard the blast and just didn't know what it was.
Thank you. Appreciate you being with us.
Our next speaker is Evelyn Daniels, followed by Mzumba. Ms. Daniels is not here. Mzumba Nuex, followed by Marvin Crenshaw, followed by Wayne Wooten, followed by Leslie Allen Davis.
I see my mic is on today. Thank you, Mayor. But Mayor, you know, I've lost a little faith and respect that I have for you, because you turn my mic off and you mess with my audio, and guy, you run the audio, mess with my audio. On the 27th of September, I was looking at the TV at home, my mouth was moving, I couldn't hear myself. People tell me sometimes they can't hear me. And you play with my mic frequently, my audio, and I don't like that. Those 22nd to say the First Amendment, the amendment to the U.S. Constitution guarantees basic freedom of speech, religion, press, and assembly, and the right to participate in government for redress of grievances. You don't violate my freedom of speech. Please, Merrill, don't disrespect me. I don't disrespect you. And I'm down here for a reason. If you give me justice, I won't have to be down here. This city has robbed me. This city has punished me. This city has threatened me. This city has tortured me when they arrested me in 2004. I think about all my brothers and sisters that went to the pen for life and death pills and everything and didn't commit the crime. And that put me in the situation. And that's why I'm down here like I am now, because it could have been me. It could have been me. And I'm an old man now, so I have to speak up sooner or later. It's like I tell people, I could have died in the Vietnam War. I could have died at home. I could have died a lot of places. So why not die or whatever to stand up for my rights? You know, this thing was filled in 2004 when I was defending my life by Mike Dupree and possibly who was at counsel, possibly, well, he was a part of a Grand Vitaliver who was a assistant police chief. You know, Dupree called me, like I said, a Black Panther and a Muslim. I guess they've both been bad guys to him for some reason. He said, I was this and I was all this and that. And I think he feel my problem, because everyone involved in this to give me a hard time, a police officer. We had Al Chacon. He told me during the election when we ran in 2000, he was going to teach me how to act. He's a white guy. He told me he was going to teach me how to act. Going from previous things back in the 50s, early 50s, I remember how white people taught Negroes how to act. Pastor Gunn told me he didn't want to teach me how to act. Grand Vitaliver, they told me, he said, don't cross it. We was ex-police chief, assistant and said he would get you. Conrad Gerard James, he was arrested in Austin. I think I was told that Mike Dupree influenced him before he came to the scene because another officer was on the scene of the crime. Detective Mays, he didn't believe me. So I had a whole bunch of police against me, and I did nothing but defend my life. Said I've been a white guy that got a medal for defending my life and running some Negroes out by messing with them. But you know, I'm black, and you know, I didn't even stand up. That's the way you do us, you know what I'm trying to say. And I didn't do nothing.
Thank you for being with me. Appreciate it.
Marvin Crenshaw. Wayne Wooten.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Wooten. I live at 2000 Grizzly. Coming down here is like going fishing. You might catch it and you might not. I'm concerned about community access being denied to poverty-stricken people in this city. It was part of an agreement with Cable to have community access in this city. It is ridiculous that poverty-stricken people are not able to see government programs in this city. That's crazy. That don't make sense. I don't understand the mentality of a people that want to deny people access to government. And minorities ain't got no, they don't know nothing about government, no way. Most black people don't even know what a constitution is. Because one thing is black folks ain't never talked about it. I learned about it in high school, of course. I went to Booker T. and it was part of our class. Went to St. Peter's and we grew up as citizens. So I learned about being a citizen. But when I talked about community people, I guess they've been looking at it. It must be a high-rating show since y'all done cut it off for poverty-stricken people, and I want it back. I want community access back on Channel 16 ASAP. I want community access back. I want it back, Mayor Leppard. I want community access back. Y'all act like a bunch of Nazis running around here in a German. Hitler's supposed to be dead.
Appreciate you being with us. Thank you. Next.
Leslie. You standing up here acting like... Leslie Allen Davis.
Davis, 3035 East Lesbia, 401. Hey, I'm glad to meet you again. I missed you last week. I went out of paper because my medicine is not working so good in my prediction. I'm schizoaffective, but I'm a paranoid schizoaffective. I was a paranoid schizoaffective, but I'm schizoaffective now. And the medicine seems not to be stabilized when I get a bit in pressure situations. I want people out in radio land and on TV to pray for me. And those people that know God is Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to pray for me. And I'm going to try to do the best I can. I'm going to keep showing up because I think I've been instrumental in helping this city council get on the right track. And we should help the people in Israel. Be sure to help the people in Israel all you can. Those that are able, if you can't help them, pray for them. Pray for the people of Israel, especially Jerusalem. That's supposed to be the heart of the world, the heartbeat of the world. And see. I can't think. I'm slipping, but I'm coming back together. Give my time. Okay. City employees, y'all need to try to give y'all best this year because y'all got the tax increase. We want to see some more better work, better employees. We're giving your best and seeing and praying to God to make you strong and better on your job to do the best you possibly can. Not you ain't trying to please the city of Dallas, trying to please God when you come to these jobs. And thank God you got a job and hold on to it tight as best you can, but give your best. Even if you lose your job, hold on and keep trying. And as I say again, let's pray for me, y'all. I'm praying in Jesus' name. If you can't say another prayer, say bless him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not gonna let go. I've got 12 seconds. I love you all. God bless America. We're going to be a strong nation. We're the can-do people. And I hope the Cowboys, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I know you can't win every game, but play to give you the best shot and play with finesse.
Thank you.
Try to do the best you can.
All right.
Well,
we want a good football team. Look at them Rangers, something else.
I don't know about them Yankees, water.
Madam Secretary.
That's it.
We adjourn.
That's it.